Welcome to another edition of the Game Sports Podcast. David McCaig here, host of The Game, powered by 91 Network. In this episode, it'll be three segments. In the first segment, yours truly alone, discussing updates around the diamond. In segment two, I'll be joined by Alex Parr, getting to our pretenders, contenders when it comes to Canadian teams, National Hockey League, blind ranking quiz, and the 1994 NHL redraft, plus much more. And in the final segment, I'll be joined by Justin Heichel for In the Pockets. Let's go. Yeah, and it's time for the Game Sports Podcast. David McCaig Jr. here, host of The Game. And as I mentioned in the very opening of the show, the Game Sports Podcast is powered by 91 Network. And look, you can follow us on social media. That's TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. Heck, you may have been directed here through TikTok clip. Maybe you're listening on Spotify. Maybe you're watching me right now on YouTube. Either way, wherever you're watching or viewing, whatever it may be, hit like, follow, and subscribe, and don't hesitate to interact. We love the interactions. Now, in this first segment, I discussed talking about baseball, and I'm going to get to that in just a moment, but I want to give a quick shout out to a platform that the Game Sports Podcast is going to be joining in a couple weeks. It is called Spaces. It is through Sioux Today, which is if you are in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, where the game is located. Obviously, Sioux Today is very well known, but if you're outside of Sault Ste. Marie, you may know the name of Village Media. All in all, that is all connected, and it is a community platform that features a space. It could be sports, could be hockey, spaces that you can think of all in this platform called Spaces. And it's a lot of the local talent here in Sault Ste. Marie that are on there, of course. But if you're outside of Sault Ste. Marie, don't hesitate to bookmark that and remind yourself to check that out, because maybe there's a space that you'll enjoy on there. But make sure you keep your tabs and, of course, keep your eye on all uploads of the Game Sports Podcast. Now, Alex Parr and Justin Heichel are going to be joining me a little bit later on in the show. I'm going to spend this first segment, as I talked about in the opening, talking about baseball. And I'm not going to get into too much time with that, because usually this is Connor Henderson's spotlight, okay? And Connor's unable to join us this evening. So I'm going to get into baseball, and I'm going to get into something about Juan Soto that may surprise you or may not surprise you. And if I have time, I might do a little bit about my projections about the Blue Jays offseason, but we may have to table that for when Connor joins. But I will go at the best of what I can here in the short time frame. So talking about the baseball playoffs right now, obviously we're in the league championship series. You got the Mets, you got the Dodgers, you got the Guardians, and you got the Yankees. As I'm currently recording, the Yankees and Guardians are getting set to have first pitch, and the Yankees are up 1-0 into that series. And to be transparent, I do expect the Yankees to go up 2-0 after this game tonight. I just feel like the Yankees in the first game, they look really special right now. They were not my prediction to win, okay? But ultimately, I think the Guardians could outplay the Yankees, could win this series, could play small ball against them. And if they do go down 2-0 after their game tonight, that is a team that could battle back, because they have that spirit, but the Yankees look really good. Looking at the Dodgers and Mets, of course, the Mets winning Game two there, of course, that series is going to be closer than people maybe imagine, but the Dodgers are something special to watch too. And as I stated in my prediction, I didn't want to be boring and say the Yankees and Dodgers, Guardians and Dodgers were my prediction. Maybe people still think that's boring, but it really seems like it's going to line up to be the Dodgers and the Yankees. But I'm still picking with my prediction to win, and that is Shohei Ohtani and his Dodgers getting the World Series this year. But the playoffs overall have been so exciting to watch. You have to agree to that. And a big part of that for me is a team that holds very closely to my heart and also very closely to the Game Sports Podcast heart, the Detroit Tigers. Obviously, the late Scott Nason was a huge Detroit Tigers fan and casual member of the Game Sports Podcast family. Butch Davis, who was obviously on a lot with Scott, big followers and obviously big supporter of the Detroit Tigers, involved the media there in Detroit in general for years. Detroit Tigers were a team that always kept an eye on and that we always discussed here on the show, normally because the game had its live radio shows in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan through ESPN 1400. So there was always a tie there with the Tigers. And this year, obviously, with me being a Toronto Blue Jays fan, you don't see any Blue Jays jerseys up any longer. Those have been taken down once the playoffs started, and the Blue Jays obviously didn't make it this year. When it comes to watching the Blue Jays, when the playoffs started, my eyes were on the Tigers. There is a team that had a 0.2% chance to make the playoffs, and they made the playoffs. you didn't expect what was going to happen, them even winning to move past the wild card, getting on to the next round. They were just playing with house money. They were just there in their moment. And the Detroit Tigers looked like they belonged. They were impressive to watch in August. They were impressive to watch in September. Their pitching was phenomenal. They sold some pieces at the deadline. And again, you didn't expect this team to make it, but they did. And they did not disappoint in the playoffs. It was great to watch. Other storylines, the Orioles really, really showing that they can't succeed in the playoffs right now, which is very unfortunate. And you can trust me when I say it, being a sports fan of multiple teams and a couple of which that don't succeed in the playoffs. Look, one of them being in baseball, it is tough to watch, especially with that young, talented team in Baltimore. I had really high hopes for them this season. Earlier, if you listen to the season preview where I pegged the Orioles to be this year, this season ultimately has been full of surprises, and I include the Blue Jays into that. I include the Braves into that. I thought that would be a team that would be at least in the Final Four when it came to the end of the season, given the money that they spent on players, their roster. But I'm speaking about the playoffs, and the overall playoffs has been exciting to watch, and the Tigers have been on the forefront of that. And heck, it could be just because of the community that I am, being so close to Detroit. But if you look at any news, you look at any article, listen to podcasts, people that are sports fans that were not cheering for the teams that they were playing against or other teams in the playoffs, they were cheering for the Tigers. Everyone loves a Cinderella story, and that's what the Tigers were this year. But you know what? Everyone says it doesn't matter unless you win. Now, you know what? This may sound cliche or may be very unfortunate to state, especially for your fan, because you want to see your team win at the end of the day. But as I said a few moments ago, they're playing with house money. And now this team is going to be an attraction for players to play, players to stay. And they're not just going to just float going into next year. They may not make too many moves because they don't really need to. They can bring back a good core of guys. They have a set roster, but they can add pieces that are going to put them over that hump. And they have money to spend. And I'm going to get to that in just a few moments. But these playoffs in general have been very, in my opinion, exciting to watch, especially if you were watching the Tigers, the Dodgers games. When it came to the Dodgers and the Padres, those were great. The Mets really holding their own in game two, winning 7-3 in that game. It's like they lose 9-0 game one, then they win 7-3. It's, you can't predict games, it seems like. You just gotta go with your gut, it seems like, on how the game's going to go, because that's how the first and second game went between the Dodgers and the Mets. And who knows how game two is going to go between the Yankees and the Guardians. Yankees being at home in the playoffs and the way that they're playing right now, despite how I predicted the Guardians to play the Dodgers in the World Series, the Yankees, they just seem really tough right now. And I'd be very surprised if they lost tonight. I really feel like a game two victory is going to be with the Yankees tonight. So ultimately, these playoffs have been exciting to watch, and it's sad to see the Cinderella story of the Tigers end, but they have stuff to build on, okay? Now, I'm going to table the Tigers for a second, and I'm going to go to the Toronto Blue Jays, and I said I don't want to get into too much of the offseason yet because we're not there, but I heard an interesting point about the Blue Jays saying how they should sign Bo Bichette now because it's the best value that they're going to get. Guy hadn't played all year. He come off his worst season. I agree with that. I think it would be a good idea to keep Bo Bichette. Look, he is a guy who can hit 25-30 home runs when healthy. And yes, he may have not been in the best game shape that he could have been, but he knows that he has to play now. And if you give him security and give him money now and show that care into him and get him into that routine, and you have him and Vlad playing together because you know that they really want to play together, then I think you can expand from there. I've said this on so many clips and so many points, pay the man to Vladimir Guerrero Jr. But I think if there's going to be teams that are aggressive for spending money, it is the Blue Jays and it is the Tigers. Okay, and I'm not saying the Blue Jays because I'm a Blue Jays fan. They lost out on Ohtani last year with the expectation that they thought they had a very good chance, if not the chance, to get him. They're keeping the same management, and they're on very thin ice, even though they should have been fired probably after this past season. They're going to go all in. They're going to spend money. They're going to beef up this roster, and they're going to try to improve it. And if they don't, and they just gut it or let it go the way that it is, then they'll be lucky to have a job at the quarter point of the season. And if they don't get terminated for that, I hope fans riot, because this is and was supposed to be our window to win. If you're a Blue Jay fan, that is what you're saying. Now, speaking of money to spend, there are areas that the Blue Jays can improve on. You can always look at improving the bullpen. There may be opportunity, of course, to improve the pitching, the bottom of the order, but a DH, someone who can play outfield and DH, would be a great fit for the Blue Jays. Fingers do point to Teoscar Hernandez, especially if he wins the World Series with the Dodgers, bring that ingredient back to the Toronto Blue Jays, but why don't they reach a little bit higher? Juan Soto. Will he stay with the Yankees? Honestly, probably. The Yankees will probably open the checkbook, especially if they make the World Series. He's going to see that he's on a team that he can be successful with. They can afford him, and then they're always going to be and try to be a competitive team and spend money. Soto will likely stay. But why not the Toronto Blue Jays? Why wouldn't Juan Soto consider going to the Toronto Blue Jays? Open the checkbook to him. Open the checkbook to Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Get Bo Bichette locked in. You have Springer, who still has a good year left on him, in my honest opinion. You have Varsho there with the lineup. You have a team that if you add that DH presence and just fill out the rotation or the bullpen, I should say, and the bottom of the order accordingly to be a good team that can get on base, this is something special in Toronto. But despite how I feel Juan Soto could be a favorite destination for the Blue Jays, the New York Mets are going to be in that conversation. Obviously, the Yankees, the Mets, the Blue Jays, those are teams that I think might be in that conversation. But there's another team, and I'm going to bring them back into this conversation. The Detroit Tigers. They have youth. They have control on a lot of young guys. They made a very good run this year. They can likely give Soto what he wants. It's a passionate fan base when it comes to baseball. It's a storied franchise. It's a franchise where he can build with these young guys and help create a dynasty there with the Detroit Tigers. Why not throw Soto on the Detroit Tigers? You're going to say, well, they're going to throw off the nucleus. It's going to throw off the chemistry. Look, it's baseball. You're not throwing somebody on the first line in hockey. You're not changing the rotation when it comes to a basketball game with your five there on the court. You're ultimately adjusting and adding to an already well put together roster there with the Detroit Tigers. Add a piece and look at adding to the rotation. I think the Tigers can be very busy this offseason, but in a good way. And it's really rare that teams just go out and make a splash after having a story season like the Tigers have had, but it makes sense. It truly does. And if you disagree, let me know below. I think it makes sense that Juan Soto looks at one of staying in New York, going to the other side of New York, Toronto, or the Tigers. Those are the four, but I think the top two, and it isn't bias, Detroit and Toronto. Why not do something that will get you something for a pedigree? You're young. Please do something different and not stay with the Yankees. Go to another team. The Mets, that's another predictable team. The Tigers, the Blue Jays. Heck, I'd be happier if Soto went to the Guardians. Another good young team with some good Canadians on that team as well, the Nailers. So there's teams that could be opening that checkbook, but I think the Blue Jays and Tigers might be those teams. Spent about the 13 minutes here talking about baseball, talking about the playoffs and how it's been a storied playoff, the Tigers, and of course, a little bit of what I think the offseason could look like, but the last year's excitement went somewhere boring, per se, but obviously he made the right choice going to that team, and that is Shohei Ohtani to the Los Angeles Dodgers. What will the story be this offseason? We'll have to put that away until the offseason. We'll have to wait and see what happens. But we got some playoff baseball going on. We got the Final Four, Mets, Dodgers, Guardians, Yankees. It has been a great playoffs to this point. Tigers, congratulations to an absolute terrific season. Didn't get what you ultimately wanted, which was the World Series, but you over exceeded expectations, and there's a lot to build off there, and the Tigers will be back. Now, I'm going to take a quick breather. When I get back from my breather, Alex Parr is going to be joining me, and we're going to be getting into hockey. This is Alex's first show in about 3 months. Obviously, it was summertime. He tends to take an absence when it comes to in the summer. We do some shows, but ultimately there's a lot of solo shows with me, Connor coming on and talk about baseball. And of course, now that we're in the beginning of hockey season, puck drop has started 3, 4-ish, 5-ish games into the season. Alex and I have a lot to talk about, but last week we missed doing our preview show because of technical difficulties and schedule conflicts. So that's why we didn't have a show last week. So when it comes into this week, we're going to try to get what we can. We're going to say it's 15 minutes, but let's be real. We're probably going to hit a half hour. And we're going to get into everything that we can. But the one thing that I'm very excited for that you should be is the pretenders and contenders when it comes to the Canadian landscape in hockey. You'll definitely want to interact with that one. We'll be right back. Alex will be joining me. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to the Game Sports Podcast. Dave McKay continuing to host you this evening. Now, I am very excited because it's been a few months, to say the least, that he has been able to join me on this podcast because of, well, content of the show, schedule conflicts, whatever way you want to look at it.
Okay, it was summer.
It's summer. There's a lot of reasons. But now we're obviously back with hockey, and I wouldn't be speaking about hockey. Well, there's a couple people on this show who are joining me with hockey, of course, but with no one other than Alex Parr. Alex, my friend, great to talk to you. Great to have you back on the show. It's been a few months vacation that you had, but now it's time to get back rocking. And that's, I'm excited that you're back on.
I got my PPE. I got my work boots. I'm ready to head back to work now. I've missed you, Dave. I've missed the viewers at home here. I can't wait. And you know what? This hockey season, so far off to a pretty good start, if I do say so myself.
I would agree. And we got like a similar...
Right? I was going to say that. Yeah.
Your button is the opposite of mine right now. And you're pink and I'm blue. Oh, like it is great. Mm-hmm.
Just like a gender reveal party rating to pop off, you know?
Love that. And no, that's not it. Nope.
No, that's nothing. That's nothing. There's literally no more than just pink and blue.
Pink and blue. I'm leaving it at that. And obviously, I'm going to give a little shout out to Mario Turco jersey being behind me. In front of that jersey says, Happy Birthday, David, on there. When I was young, it was one of my teenage birthdays. He gave me a jersey for my birthday. And there's a reason why he's up there today, okay? There's a reason why he is up. So nonetheless, obviously, we had a season preview show last week, Alex, between myself and Brandon McCarthy. Now, no one has seen Brandon McCarthy yet, so they're wondering who the heck that is. He's obviously one of our new contributors here on the Game Sports Podcast. And that show, due to schedule conflicts and some technical difficulties, was unable to be uploaded. So this segment, we're going to get into everything that we can in our short period of time with some of the games or quizzes that we play at the end. But of course, going to talk about the season that has already started and a little bit of preview around the NHL season for 2024-2025. And look, hockey is back, Parr, and it's been a good start to the season overall. Mm-hmm. And I'm not just saying if you're a Toronto fan or if you're a New Jersey fan or if you're this fan and you're not an Edmonton fan, whatever it may be, it just feels good that hockey's back. But I did say on previous shows when I was talking to Justin when we were kind of teasing hockey coming back, that the season just feels like it's ended, right? We talked about this before.
Oh, the dude. Last episode
we were on. We literally just Stanley Cup got hoisted. And then after that, there's the draft, free agency, and then all summer happened. It felt like you didn't have any gap between the offseason to now. It seems like it was really quick. Where football, it's like February, and then, yeah, there's the draft, there's some free agency, but it feels like there's enough gap when football comes back. It's like you have that extra – you're extra amped because of that patience in between, right, Parr? But hockey's back, and Matthews is wearing the C. You got Gudas wearing a C in Anaheim. If you're a Leaf fan, you're not a fan of Radko Gudas. The Utah Hockey Club, where Arizona's like...
So good.
What the hell was... Where was this? When mm-hmm. we played... there's a lot of good storylines that has happened, and even one other good storyline that I like. Jake Allen is the first goalie in NHL history to get 33 wins. Like, not 33 wins, 33 franchises.
That's to beat 33, all 33 franchises.
Unreal. Unreal. Mm-hmm. Good storylines.
There's an asterisk to it. I mean, he's beaten Arizona before. There's not 33 teams in the league right now, you know? It's a cool headline, I guess, but I mean, yeah.
It's pretty.
Yeah, are people saying they beat 33 teams if they beat the Atlanta Thrashers? No, they're not saying that. You know what I mean?
So. Oh, the Atlanta Thrashers. Great one from the archive, by the way.
Dude,
first one comes to mind with Atlanta Thrashers.
Nick Antropov.
I was gonna say Dan Heatley or Ilya Kovalchuk.
Nick Antropov, Colby Armstrong, and Ray Ferraro. And Andrei Pavlik.
Oh my goodness, he fainted on the ice. That was sad.
No. Who?
Andrei Pavlik, the goalie.
Did he?
Yeah. And he's in Atlanta. Yeah. I don't know why. I remember that's not. I guess that's big news. That's a thing. But like at the same time, I don't know why that came to head first. But nonetheless. So the way that I was thinking about for this season, obviously the season has gotten underway, par. So I think I want to take a different approach to our season preview this year. And I wanted to do kind of like a Canadian, we're going to do a ranking thing at the end, but I want to do and contenders, Canadian edition. Okay. I want to get into that. But before we do, I want to talk about teams that may interest us this year. Going into this year, based on if they were awful last year, if they didn't, if they met expectations, whatever it may be. And I'll start to give you an example. I call it the revenge year for this team. And you're going to roll your eyes because it's someone that is a familiar coach. New Jersey Devils is my revenge team this year. The reason why I'm saying the New Jersey Devils, they didn't make the playoffs last year. They got Markstrom and they improved their team. And they, I feel like that team is just too good to not be a playoff team. They're too good offensively, defensively. Look, take it from a guy who had Jack Hughes in his fantasy hockey last year, which obviously really worked out for me in the end. But they added where they needed to make that team better. And they addressed coaching. Sheldon Keefe, say what you want about him if you're a Toronto fan. Still a good coach. He was successful in Toronto. He's going to have a different approach there in New Jersey. New Jersey's had a hot start to the year. Sheldon Keefe, I said this before the season started. I want to make sure I note that. Is my early pick for Jack Adams this year.
That's crazy.
That's my early pick this year because I feel like New Jersey is going to make the playoffs. They might even win the Metro, let alone maybe at least come second. And I think that's where Sheldon Keefe's definitely going to get factored. But obviously with Utah doing what they're doing, maybe you should give a little love there for Jack Adams potential. But that's their best team.
I don't want to say because I don't have a Jack Adams prediction. So for me, just a poo-poo caca all over your predictions, kind of like, you know, not really fair, but the Jack Adams Award goes to the guy who coaches the team that did the most surprising. And New Jersey being good is not going to be very surprising. Like you're saying, like that's a good roster that just needed a goalie and they have it. Speaking of teams that needed a goalie and have one now, and now I say the ball is in their court with their young core, is the Ottawa Senators. Linus Allmark. Oh my goodness, you can't go anywhere in this goddamn city without people saying, Allmark, yeah! We're in here now, yeah. Leafs fans, watch out. Yeah. He's good. He's really good. And it took no time for this city to realize that. And for a team that's young, making mistakes is going to hurt a lot more than a guy who's a veteran who makes a mistake. And that's going to linger in your head a little bit more. But now that you have a goalie who can bail you out and your mistakes won't be as amplified and will be able to give you a chance to win in games maybe you shouldn't have a chance to win in, that's a team that could probably make a pretty big jump, especially in comparison to last year. Korpisalo and Sogard. I don't even know what his first name is.
You have Forsberg in there. You got Antoine Forsberg, too.
Yeah.
They had a carousel in that. They really bought into Korpisalo last year, thinking that he was going to be that guy when they went into the offseason. When he went to L.A. and had such a strong out at the end of the season in the playoffs, and they signed him in Ottawa to that money. And then you traded him. Good thing Boston, if you're a Boston fan, because you had Swayman, the drama with Swayman for a little bit before he signed. You knew he was going nowhere. Okay, I did make a bold prediction that he was going to get traded to the Vancouver Canucks. I did say that. I also said a lot of other ideas, St. Louis Blues for Binnington. I thought multiple things that could have worked in Boston's favor, but we all knew Swayman was coming back to the Boston Bruins. Okay, no one leaves when you go there unless you do get traded, and they're not always the forefront of trades unless it's the trade deadline, but they usually sign guys, and they're guys to longer-term deals, and they buy in, and it's a culture that is a family-type culture. Bergeron, Chara, Marchand. Obviously, they had to let go of Swayman or Allmark because of the money, right? This is Brandon Carlo. The list goes on. That's the Boston Bruins kind of culture. And Allmark brings that culture to the Ottawa Senators, and hopefully he can be a goalie that they've been waiting to get. You know, if you see what they've had, Dominic Hasek, they did have a veteran Dominic Hasek, not young Dominic Hasek, very old Dominic Hasek. Sorry. And then Patrick Laine was that goalie in the early thousands.
Yeah, who got shelled by the Leafs in the playoffs all the time.
Every year, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, they've had different goaltenders come in, but I think Ullmark can be that guy who can have that opportunity to really help them be get over that hump to be a wild card team at the very least this year. They have a strong chance to do that. But I know we're going to talk Canadian teams, so maybe that's a good segue. The Ottawa Senators, contender?
Pretender, still. You would really need Ullmark to really like play, like win another Vezina kind of deal to really push this team over the edge to make the playoffs. Is that impossible? No, definitely not impossible. That's a big ask for a team that was really far out of the playoffs. So I'm optimistic for them, but not enough to make the playoffs this year. I think they're on the right path.
So you say pretender. Okay, so I'll go to one more thing outside of the Canadians for Canadian teams for a second. Mm-hmm. I want to say that I am excited this year to watch the Red Wings. I'm not a Red Wing fan, but I feel like the Atlantic Division is just going to be absolute turmoil this year. I feel like it's going to be fun to watch and also to see what the second year of Connor Bedard can do. You know, that sophomore mm-hmm. year of a player. He has a wicked shot on him. He's not built like McDavid, tall and that. But Bedard is on a team where I really thought maybe they would give him an early captaincy, but they gave it to Foligno, right? Which might be the right choice, actually.
Yeah, I mean, how long is Foligno going to be around, right? You're just going to hand that off to Bedard right after. So it's not really that big of a deal.
But Bedard's shot, look, he's NHL. That shot is top in the league of that snapper that he has. I'm excited to see what he can do in a second year, and especially if he can be healthy for the entire year, right? There was one person who was also injured in their rookie year. His name was Connor McDavid, and he had a very good second year when he came back. Not saying Bedard's McDavid. I've never said that. I actually compared Bedard to Stamkos a lot, but there's obviously a lot of similarities with that generational talent. I feel like Chicago, Connor Bedard, they're not going to be good this year. They're going to be bottom of the standings, absolutely. But I think it'd be good to watch Bedard to see his growth this year. It's going to be exciting to watch.
I thought you said we were doing Canadian teams.
We are. So I'm going to go back. I want
okay,
to
okay, okay.
The revenge teams for me are New Jersey, Detroit this year, because Detroit was on that wild card A and they didn't make it that last game. But I want to throw a little side note that I'm excited about Bedard this year. I watched him play against the Oilers last weekend, and Jesus. Development's looking in the right direction if you're Chicago. All right. Canadian teams, you talk about Ottawa being a pretender. Mm-hmm. All right. I will say that I'm going to go out on a limb and still say that they're a pretender, but they're going to fight for a wild card. They're going to be 1 point, 2-3 points on the outside looking in. They're going to get that taste, but they're going to be on the outside looking in. So I'll say that they are also a pretender. Montreal Canadiens. I'll start with Montreal Canadiens and go to you, Par. I feel like Montreal's taking steps in the right direction. The Line A injury certainly hurts them to begin the year, but I feel like they're really filling out their top six. Their goaltending, Samuel Montembeault, plays like Dominic Hasek against the Toronto Maple Leafs, but he's a consistent goaltender. Heck, he's a favorite to maybe play one of the candidates' goalies right now, top three.
Okay, let's pump the brakes here.
I'm just saying. It's been a chat. It's been a thing. You can look it up. If you don't believe me. I'm not saying he's going to be, though. Nonetheless, this is a team that I still consider as a pretender. Montreal Canadiens are a pretender to me still. They're also going to be like Ottawa outside looking in. I think they'll be going to be behind Ottawa, though. Even though I think they're in front of Ottawa in some degree of their team, I just feel like goaltending is going to be a big factor in that because Ullmark is better than all the Habs goaltenders. And just something about Ottawa this year, it just has that build, that feisty build that can get down at the end of the season and stay healthy and just help you grind out those games. But Montreal's going to be right behind Ottawa, so I'll have to say pretender.
Yeah, I mean, Cole Caulfield, the only 40-goal scorer that's never scored 40 goals, really needs to actually score 40 goals. Nick Suzuki needs to jump another big leap. And yeah, there's no shot that this team's making the playoffs. I'm sorry, Montreal fans.
No. Now, Calgary Flames, Par.
Okay.
What are you, pretender or contender?
Yeah, just like so many of these Canadian teams are just middling average teams at best. I don't think Calgary's got enough to get them back into the playoffs. I don't think they're strong enough in net. I don't think their defense isn't the worst, but I just don't see it. The only thing that I think could be a successful season for the Flames is if they finally get Dustin Wolf in playing regularly, even on the bench, just to be there and experience the ride of the show. Because that guy will be your difference maker if you make sure to to nurture him correctly. So let's do that this year and not worry so much about making the playoffs.
I agree. I know they're hot off to a hot start right now as we're recording this podcast. They're 3-0 at this recording. Just remind everybody it's October 15th when we're recording. They're 3-0. And obviously hot starts are good at the beginning of the year, but they got to maintain it for the season. I really don't think that the Calgary Flames are in that position. Now, the Edmonton Oilers. I'll go with the Edmonton Oilers. Another slow start to the year, but we all know this song and dance from last year, being the worst team in the National Hockey League, to firing a coach and becoming and signing Corey Perry and getting hot at the end of the year, now making the Stanley Cup final only to lose in Game 7. I think the Oilers are a contender, though. This is not a team that's a pretender. They're going to turn it around. They're going to get better. They're going to get more consistent. But obviously, it's a little bit of a concern when you do start the season 0-3 based on how they started their season. But again, let's date it back to last year, Par. It's still a lot
of time. But how often does a team start that bad and then make the playoffs and go to the Stanley Cup Finals? That's a very rare occurrence. I mean, I can think of the Blues.
That's it.
Yeah. And now they're losing again to start the season. Like, and I know we're sitting here like, oh, they did this last year. They were fine. Yeah, but how many times can you do that? How many teams can you show me back-to-back years started this bad and were actually half decent? Like, as long as the thought process doesn't creep into the Oilers players' heads of, oh, yeah, well, we did this last year, we'll be okay. I don't, they're going to be fine. I know it. But, like, let's not drag this out as long as you did last year.
Yeah, I know. I think the with the division that they have, like even Vancouver's off to a slower start. You have Vegas is a little bit healthier this year, so it's not going to be just like last year. It's going to be harder to rebound. But again, if you go 30-9 in 39 games, obviously that's really going to help you. But you can't – the odds, it's not as much that you get to see that. So I still say, though, and I think you agree, Par, they are a contender. So.
Yeah, reluctantly, they definitely are. You want to talk about Vancouver? Yeah, Vancouver? Yeah.
Vancouver Canucks.
Let me start this. Last year, I was a big Vancouver hater. Big Vancouver hater. I didn't like their build of the roster. I thought what they were the season before that was exactly what they were, which was underwhelming. And look at what they did. They said, eat your words, Par. You know, we're going to go on to the playoffs. But you know what I think about this year? I think I was right. They just got hot one year, and I think they're a pretender. Yeah, that's right. I said it, the Vancouver Canucks, big pretender. They got lucky last year, and they ain't going to do it again this year. They're not good enough to do it. Done. Pretender.
Pretender for the Vancouver Canucks. Look, I guess this will be our first disagreement. I'll still say that they are a contender, but they're not a top Canadian team contender. This is a team that I believe will be a wild card team. They overachieved last year, but will still be in the playoffs. So I'll still stay contender, but I'm not disagreeing with Par fully about the pretender part, because last year they did overachieve, and you might get that exposure this year. And if they can't maintain health and net, they might have to look elsewhere to try to upgrade if they want to solidify there and have a chance to get back into the postseason at a higher seed again. But right now I see this team as a contender, but flirting on that wild card spot. Now, Winnipeg Jets. I'll start with this because I've always been, despite many other Leaf fans, I have a soft spot for Winnipeg for two reasons. One, because of a previous job that I was at for a longer term because of where they're located and how much the involvement that team has with that. It was just a lot of stories there that I could share, but I won't. So I also was so excited when Winnipeg came back into the league because friend of the show, Paul Maurice, right, was the coach for a long time. So the Winnipeg Jets, this is a team that I think is built for playoff hockey. They are. And last year, Connor Hellebuyck was absolutely atrocious. And there's somebody, if you want to talk about revenge, despite how good his year was, get him back into the playoffs this year. I guarantee you he's going to try to be lights out. But this team is built. The Scheifele's, the Logan Stanley's, the Adam Lowry's, these big guys that will just go in the corner and they will not stop on you. They will knock you on your ass and they will do what it takes to get in those dirty areas and put the puck in the net. Now you got Kyle Connor who can put the puck in the net. Ehlers, they got a good team there. They are a contender. And I'm very excited to see what they do this year. I think they can make a deep run and actually salvage some rough playoff exits.
They are Canada's best chance at a Stanley Cup. Easy. Hands down. I think they've – I don't know why people get down on teams who have had runs and haven't done it and kind of write them off. I always bring it back to Alex Ovechkin. How long did it take for them to kick at the can until they finally were able to lift it? Why do we not think that those experiences are important and vital in shaping these players and making them more ready for the playoffs? They absolutely are. So why can't this team just make it happen? A lot of luck goes into winning a Stanley Cup, and a team that's been there a lot of times to know what has to go in to do it, I think that gives them a great shot. And like you say, Connor Hellebuck, arguably any given night, the best goalie on the face of the earth. Easy.
Yeah, I would take him in my starting lineup. Like, if I'm trying to pick a team to go against the Soviet Union in the 70s, 80s, I'm just thinking of all-star teams, mm-hmm. Bob Yor, Gretzky, all these guys in their prime, and I had to pick a team today, it would be very hard for me not to pick Hellebuck. Not even Vasilevsky. I know there's Igor Shesterkin, which might throw a little comment.
Jake Ottinger.
Ottinger, right? There's Carey Price, but he's no longer playing. So I'm just going to talk about active players. It'd be hard to not choose Hellebuck. He's definitely a top five in the league, if not top three. If he should be in your top three. There are some talented goaltenders. And the fun fact, they're American. Hellebuck, Ottinger. America's goaltending looking spectacular. But Hellebuck, I agree with you, Parr. And I think that's a big part. If you have a strong goaltending, and they have a good defensive structure too. I think they play well defensively. Mm-hmm. The reason, like 60% of the reason, I hate to put the blame on one person, but if Hellebuck actually stopped the puck last year, like he was struggling. He struggled. He couldn't stop anything. And if he was able to have like over a 900 save percentage and not be in the 800, and they win one of those games, it changes the momentum. But a guy who, if he was able to stop a puck last year, I feel like there's a team that could have hit the second, third round, if not further.
Easy,
last
easy. Yeah. Dude, Dave, I think it's time to give the people what they came here for, though. You know,
yeah, the Toronto Maple Leafs, right? Mm-hmm. Now, I did save the quote unquote, as you would say, our favorite. I'm not going to say the best for last because that is extremely biased, and we're not biased in the show.
But you're just about to say that they are favorites, so that is pretty biased.
So I did say Winnipeg's a contender, and I will say it right now. Toronto Maple Leafs are a contender. Mm. They are a contender. That is, if anyone disagrees, I want you to let first round failures aside. Doesn't matter. Their contender means playoff bound. They are playoff bound, and they can make noise in the playoffs.
I want to say the thing that every person that hates the Leafs and their fans want us to say.
Yeah.
I'm really optimistic about this lineup. I'm saying the thing. I've done this before, and I've always been wrong because, you know, it's just the way that it goes. They're off season, man. Right now is looking mighty fine. The best defensive partner Morgan Riley has ever had, hands down, in Chris Tanev. I've just been watching some people break down his play. Wins a quick battle, throws the puck up the ice, crisp pass, boom, neutral zone already, gone, yep. Other way. If the Leafs win the cup, crazy, right? I am getting a Steven Lorenz jersey with the Stanley Cup patch on it. I love him. I absolutely love him.
Guys that help you win championship.
He plays so tough every shift, and then he puts himself in really good chances to score. Anthony Stolarz? Are you kidding me? More like Anthony stole the show, stole Joseph Woll's job. God, that guy is good.
Hildeby in his first game looked very comfortable in his first game. When's
fine.
The last time Toronto has built a goaltender through the draft? No one.
James Reimer. James Reimer.
You need to count Reimer? Okay, well...
Dude.
I'm sorry. I loved Reimer. Optimus Reim. I loved Reimer. I'm sorry. I take that back. I was thinking Felix Potvin, like true guy that stayed a long time. You signed, and then day you signed Joseph, you signed Balfour, then you signed Toskala, you traded for Anderson. You had Reimer, and he came in his first game against Ottawa. Yeah, okay. Reimer is a good example.
He played all the way up from the ECHL.
That's a good example. So I guess my idea is shot. But I'm still going to stick to my idea and say Felix Potvin because that sounded better.
I know what you're saying, though, like a true bona fide starting goalie.
Yeah, and he looks comfortable. And I think Hildeby could be that guy. But I'm holding optimism. Right? You don't want to get
I would much rather Hildeby be playing in the A for another year. Yep. Joseph Woll, I don't know if it's between the years or not, but every time something big is about to happen for you, you seem to just disappear in very mysterious ways. We don't really know. You won't answer any questions.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I just don't understand the injury that cannot get healed. But Toronto's offense, Matthews a slow start. Who cares?
He's Oliver Ekman-Larsson looks great, dude. He looks so good.
Right? This team is the best built that it's been because I'll tell you why. Defense. Something, Kyle Dubas, you might get this because I'm going to hashtag the Sioux. I'm going to hashtag this in the podcast. You might be bored on your flight to Pittsburgh to maybe another game that you might lose in. I don't know. But Sioux people, speak of Sioux people. But you, when you built this team, the defense was not what it needed to be.
What do you mean? You mean Morgan Riley's defensive partner shouldn't be Nikita Zaitsev or Matt Hunwick or Ron Hainsey?
You signed the player Tanev to a longer term deal because you had to get the player. And it's fine because I will trade if Toronto wins this year. I will trade whatever I don't care. Get the Stanley Cup. The window is going like this. Very quick. There's teams coming up.
Did you see that tweet that says Austin Matthews right now is the same age that John Tavares was when he signed his deal?
Didn't.
Crazy, eh? Crazy how much time flies.
Yep, and it's getting like this. It's getting like this despite the core that's signed. Marner's not extended. Tavares isn't extended. We're not talking about those right now, but that's another conversation.
I want the circus to come to town, and I want Mitch Marner to be my date, and I want to put him in the circus cannon and fire it at the sun. I can't stand it, dude. The way that he just like turns around after a rush and floats around and just like, oh, it drives me nuts. I see a guy like Steven Lorenz that looks like he's putting his life on the line every single time he is out there. And just also the power play where they keep passing it backwards. I thought we were done with that, but they love to do that still. They just keep passing it back, and then line all five guys parallel on the blue line and go across.
Dude. I get so mad about that stupid pass back. I look at the TV and I holler at it. It doesn't work. That is not appropriate system build on a fucking power play.
When you played junior, what was the best strategy that you remember working on the power play?
That's a very good question. In the zone, we had a lot of good plays.
How did you get into the zone, though?
So a lot of ways that could work is trying to pull people to the left or right side, whatever way you're breaking out. You try to pull the high guy to pull over. And if you can move it up to a guy that's on the wall and be able to hit to that guy and do a chip and go around, that would be ideal. But the carry the puck possession is the most important. And a lot of people think they're going to try stay high at the blue line. You got guys coming at you. I'd rather somebody dump it in opposed to somebody pass it back to somebody who's going to try to do a toe drag and through the legs and try to their hair, someone in the wind. I don't care. Get the puck behind the net. Find the open guy on the wing on the left or right side. Get that outlet pass. Break in the zone with speed. Dump it in. Far guy, get down and pressure your defense to make a stupid play to rim it around the boards and try to maybe get the goalie out of the net to force a play and stay on that blue line. Get the puck high when you're able to recover the puck after dumping it low and operate on the top of the blue lines with the defenseman. Get traffic to the net. You got John Tavares, who is a big tipper. If you play Chell, you know what I'm talking about. Big tipper. A guy can tip a puck very well in the net. You got Matthews, who's got an absolute rifle of a wrist shot, and Nylander on the other side. Marner has the ability of keeping the puck in the zone. He's a very good playmaker, Mitch Marner, despite whatever way you want to talk about Mitch right now. He has the ability to really quarterback the power play, but they can't get into the zone because that stupid back pass is the worst thing. You know who it works for? Connor McDavid. You know why? Because McDavid is as fast as this light. He's like this. That's how fast McDavid is. Okay? That's how fast Connor McDavid is. Okay? No one in this earth is that.
On the Leafs power play one, do you want to be the guy to not dump and chase? But you know what I mean? Like go and attack. Nylander? No. Matthews? No. Marner? No. Tavares? Definitely not. Way too goddamn slow. And Morgan Riley? No.
If you have to stick with this lineup, if I'm sticking with this lineup, Nylander is the guy dumping it, and Matthews is the guy going in.
No, he's not. He's not fast enough.
He isn't, but if he can get that momentum speed going down the boards and time it when he fires it in and able to go in, that is what the part of reading the play is. You got to be able to read the play and get down. But I like where your thought is because I think you have another idea, is that maybe they have someone else on that line who is going to be tenacious, get down in the zone, and maybe get to retrieve that puck. Who is that going to be? Matthew fucking Nyes. That is the guy.
They tried him. They just tried him at practice on power play one.
There we go. So I know the speed isn't there, but there's a guy who can get in front, and you could put Tavares on the second pairing. Or you could tell Marner to fly a kite and go to the second pairing until he picks it up.
I think you just separate all of the top guys onto those two power play units and see what clicks. Give them both 1 minute and see who can score.
I agree. But before we get 2 points off, the Toronto Maple Leafs are a contender.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course. Duh.
Love that. And we'll talk more Toronto on here, but we're going to transition to the other points because I'm going to keep it within the time. We're already on.
Hey, remember what you said before we started today? 15 minutes? Yeah? What are we at right now? Look, take a look at that clock for me.
No, we're 10 minutes in. We're good. We still got five. all right. So going to get to our portion of the show where we have we have a portion where we have trivias, games, blind rankings. It's mostly me and Par that obviously do this with our show. With
you got a good one for me today?
I got some good ones. Ooh. So it's going to be me kind of leading this, but you and I – for our clips, mm-hmm. are going to rank the Canadian teams from 1 to 7.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to go first. 1, Toronto. 2, Winnipeg. 3, Edmonton. 4, Vancouver. 5, Ottawa. 6, Montreal. 7, Calgary. That is my rankings for the Canadian teams for this season. Par.
Just making sure I got this all right. I think this is what I want to do. Okay. I feel like I'm missing somebody. Okay. Winnipeg's 1. Edmonton's 2. The Leafs are 3. Vancouver is 4. The Senators are 5. The Flames are 6. And Montreal 7.
Ooh, different list. Love it. Canadian teams, let us know what you think. Now, blind ranking. We're going to end with the redraft, okay?
I love a blind ranking, but don't screw me and give me the best guy on the last one. I hate when you do that. It pisses me off so much.
I did a wheel spin. I can't show it. I'm going to start including them in the clips where we have the spin so people can see what I'm doing. I'll figure that out. But nonetheless.
Am I not allowed to see it?
No, you're not.
Okay.
That's good. But we'll figure out something to make this a little bit more creative going forward. But nonetheless, because it's the first one of the year, Par's got to get back into it here. Mm-hmm. All right, blind ranking, captain's edition. Top 5. Number 1, Gabriel Landeskog.
I feel like that's an easy 5. The guy's not playing right now.
Victor Hedman.
I'm going to also go 4 because this is his first season. He hasn't done anything, and I think he's overrated now.
Clayton Keller.
Oh, yeah, that team, all that piss and vinegar in him, and they're just giving her? Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go 2 for Clayton Keller.
Ooh, okay. Boone Jenner.
What?
You have 1 and 3.
He ain't going to be 1, that's for damn sure. It's going to be 3.
And number 1 is Jamie Benn.
I think that's the team that's got the best shot to win the cup out all of those. So I will take that. Jamie Benn, 1.
Jamie Benn, 1. Keller, 2. Jenner, 3. Hedman, 4. Landeskog, 5. It was your order.
I honestly don't hate that now in hindsight. I am very excited to see what people say about that, though.
I will set you up for success with these lists going forward, I promise.
No. You know, it makes it fun when you screw me, but this is just a real random list of names, though.
Random blind ranking based on how the teams will finish this season.
Okay,
be mindful there. Okay,
it's okay. I'm gonna do my best.
Los Angeles Kings,
4.
Dallas Stars, I think I already know this answer.
1.
I figured. New Jersey Devils,
2.
Minnesota Wild, yeah, 1 and 3, or sorry,
5.
Tampa Bay Lightning.
Love it. Nailed it. Absolutely nailed it. Nailed it. Couldn't have asked for better.
Dallas, New Jersey, Tampa, LA, and Minnesota.
Perfect. Perfect. Perfect.
Love it. That is the opening to this season with the blind rankings part. Okay?
Damn. I was really hoping for another one. I like those.
You like those? Well, I'll give you more next week.
Okay.
Now, the redraft. This will end and conclude our hockey segment, our top shelf segment. I gotta make sure I say that because there is a segment title to this, top shelf. 1994 redraft. I am gonna give people a reminder because we haven't done it since July. The redraft is where Par and I, or members of the show, redraft the top 5 of that year, knowing what we know today about it. And we last left off in 93 is where our last one was. You probably saw it on the old TikTok, Instagram, but we have 1994 for you. And this is my second time redrafting this because the last show didn't update, so I was able to get a more appropriate list given what I feel is a fit. So I'm going to go first, and we're going to say the best for last. That would be Parr. So I'm going to go 5-1, and I'm going to draft it in a way that Parr knows that I love drafting it. Number the fifth overall pick, the Hartford Whalers are proud to select from Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, goaltender Marty Turco. With the fourth overall pick, the Edmonton Oilers are proud to select Tim Thomas. With the third overall pick, the Ottawa Senators are proud to select Ed Jovanovski. With the second overall pick, the Anaheim Mighty Ducks are proud to select Patrick Ilias. With the first overall pick, the Florida Panthers are proud to select Daniel Alfredson.
We have very different lists here. Not very, but there's one big omission I think you missed. Easy.
I'm sure there is. I think I know who it is.
Yeah. Number Marty five.
Marty Turco.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Number five, Steve Sullivan. And we're going to go back to back a little Sault Ste. Marie love with Marty Turco, you know? Yep. God. Number three, Patrick Elias. Easy. Tons of points. Can't stop the guy. Number two, Dave. Ryan Smith, man. Ryan Smith.
I know.
How isn't he on your list?
I had him at six.
You had Milan Hayduk on there, though?
Patrick Ilias on there.
And number one, it's easy. I hate to say it, but God, that guy was good. Daniel Alfredson.
Imagine the NHL. Like, I can't wait. When we're done all these redrafts, I'm going to put the people that we drafted on their teams.
Whoa.
See if I can do a little thing and kind of see how their career would have played out based on how we picked it and if we would have been right.
Damn.
Imagine, like, I have said Ottawa and New Jersey a number of times.
Mm-hmm.
These redrafts, I feel like the players that we would have given them, they would have been dynasties in the 90s. Okay. Parr and I going back in time, we would have made New Jersey a dynasty at that point. Okay.
They were that, kind of an honest. They didn't need our help.
No, they didn't. Daniel Alfredson, Leaflet. I'm just kidding. Ottawa Senator legend himself. Parr, it's been fun. It's been great talking hockey with you and to have you back. And very excited. I know you know about this, but obviously we are going over to Spaces as I go.
Cool.
From Spaces, all up, obviously connected with Sue today. It's going to be very exciting as our show continues to grow. And obviously at the right time, we got lots going on. This is our busy season with our show. So we hope everyone was able to enjoy this. And Parr, I hope you had a good time.
I had a blast. This is the best 15 minutes I've ever spent in my entire life.
I agree. That's all I'll leave it at. I said I had the time down pat and you got me going with teams. You always do that. It's your fault. I blame you. I blame you.
Okay.
I blame you.
That's irresponsible.
I blame you with love. I delegated my tasks and you didn't allow me to be successful.
I didn't take control of your body and tell you to shut up and make you shut up.
I don't think it's easy to make me shut up. But
yeah, I just feel like your time management, you know?
Outside of work.
How often have in your life have you heard the phrase Dave time, you know?
Every day.
Exactly.
Every day. But we're going to be right back here on the game because there's still some more talking I got to do. But in this segment, I am supposed to keep it at 15 minutes, so we'll try our best.
Oh, yeah. Good luck.
Try our best to do that. Alex, thank you again. And we will be talking to you next week as we'll be coming back with more hockey. Obviously, one new show a week. We record on Tuesdays, uploaded for your enjoyment on Wednesdays. And Alex at the forefront with yours truly with hockey. So you will see more of him. And we'll try. And we honestly didn't dress this way, but we'll see if we dress similar next week.
No, we'll see if we get a little coordinated.
See if we can't just see if great minds think.
We want to do like a football jersey next week. You can throw your Steelers on. I'll throw my Packers on.
Could do that.
That'd be fun.
Steelers are looking hot. So we'll be right back here on the game. And welcome back to the Game Sports Podcast. Dave McKay continuing to host you this evening. Get into the segment three of tonight's episode. And we are going to be discussing football in our In the Pocket segment. In the Pocket is presented, brought to you by Sports Center Bar and Grill, Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario's best sports bar. Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, the original home to the Game Sports Show at that time, now the Game Sports Podcast in 2016. Whenever we say In the Pocket, Sports Center is right beside it and always will be part of the family here on the game. And speaking of that family, Justin Heichel, the one, the only, one of the OGs, as are a few on this show, who was there for the One Phone, One Cup recordings of the podcast. Justin Heichel, my friend, how's it going?
It's doing all right. Good to be here. Survived Thanksgiving weekend. So
yes.
A little bit of a food coma. Tough turkey sandwich at lunch today. The afternoon was tough sled and getting through work there. It was, yeah, bobbing and weaving at my desk for a while this afternoon, but we're here. We're excited, and let's rip through some football.
Yeah, it's obviously going to be a little bit shorter than what we're used to just because of time, and you can almost blame Parr for that. He really had me going in that hockey segment a little bit. I'm not going to lie to you. He gets the engines revving sometimes, but in a good way. Now, some trades happened today. Obviously, Mari Cooper going over to the Buffalo Bills. That is a very good move for the Buffalo Bills, just from a wide receiver perspective. I think that's a good move. They really needed to, I think, beef up that receiver game. Obviously, when you lose Diggs, it was a loss, but it was a move that had to happen with Buffalo, just given the culture. But bringing in Cooper, I think, is a very good fit for the Buffalo Bills, who will certainly use his offense to a good strategy with Josh Allen as another weapon he can throw the ball to.
Well, the Bills seem to be kind of running a no-bullshit operation this year. like, next man up, whoever's going to step up, you're the guy we're going to showcase. I mean, look at Ray Davis last night. I mean, no one's ever heard of him, really, unless you're a Bills fan. And now he's, like, the number one pickup in fantasy football. So, I mean, it's good. Amari Cooper, not really much drama attached to him through his career. And low cost for the Bills. I believe they got draft pick here, a third-round pick. Third and a seventh, and they got Cooper and a sixth back. So that's some pretty good value there as far as trade goes.
And you address the offense. You address the offense in a good way.
Yeah.
More balance.
We got the other big trade on the day, too. Just immediately after the game last night, it seems like the Jets traded for Devontae Adams. And, you know, another peanuts trade. What was he? A third-round pick. Conditional third. Goes up to a second if they make the Super Bowl. So Aaron Rodgers and Devontae back together. I think they've combined for a total of 51, 52 touchdowns.
Familiarity.
Yeah, next closest on that list, I believe, is Tyreek Hill and Patrick Mahomes. So
this is you obviously got Aaron Rodgers' fingerprints all over this trade, right? Obviously, when that trade happens, Aaron Rodgers is saying that he wants that weapon. It's a good choice to have in the Jets. Obviously, they've had a slow start to their season. And they're not making the playoffs or being a contender for the Super Bowl as an option. And they have some weapons on that team. And despite if you're a fan of Aaron Rodgers or not, him and Devontae Adams have that history. And that chemistry is going to come it's going to be noticeable out there. Okay. This is a team that, again, was able to address their offensive woes a little bit. Someone who could certainly catch the ball and someone who's familiar with Aaron Rodgers, who's been waiting for another weapon. And I think it's no secret that Adams wanted out of Las Vegas. So obviously not a secret at all.
Well, I mean, then that division's still wide open. So if the Jets can make some moves there, I mean, losing a divisional game against Buffalo last night kind of sucks. But if the Jets can get hot here, and I think Devontae really only elevates the offense. Yeah. Garrett Wilson now is going to be not the number one guy, so he's going to be free to do what he wants, and might open up Breece Hall a little more. Now Mike Williams is probably on his way out of town after he couldn't remember his routes last night, but it's the way of the NFL, man. I mean, Aaron Rodgers isn't there to teach anyone. He's there to bring a championship to New York, and New York's got to do what they can to put a team on the field for him. So we'll see how it plays out. I mean, they got a big Sunday nighter this week against your Steelers.
They do. That's a pivotal game for them, obviously. And I think it's also a pivotal game for Pittsburgh because you're in a season where you didn't have the expectations. And now you're winning football games. And now you're showing what your team can do. And your defense is elite for Pittsburgh. The offense has weapons. But in that game this week, I must add, the Steelers are starting Russell Wilson in that game over Justin Fields, which is, I imagine, the short leash that Russell may be on. Obviously, the injury bug couldn't occur any longer. But obviously, Justin, I think, had a very good game against Vegas. I feel like you don't need to make that change. But obviously, if Russell Wilson's struggling in that first half, he might be on a short leash. And I really think that it's going to be pivotal for both teams, for Steelers to keep the momentum going, but the Jets to get that ship in that direction that they want to go to the championship. Little all over the place there. And obviously the Texans made a move as well. They obviously acquired Akers. The Texans traded Cam Akers, to the Minnesota Vikings. So that's the other trade news for today. So, Justin, I will say, which team is most likely to make a midseason
turnaround. Okay. This was on NFL.com. I'd like to, I thought it'd be good to ask before we get into our picks. As I said, it's a little bit of a shorter segment for In the Pocket today. Philadelphia Eagles, Cincinnati Bengals, San Francisco 49ers, or the New York Jets?
I mean, I'm gonna go with the popular
pick today
and take the Jets.
Okay.
I mean, the move with Adams and the instant chemistry with Rodgers there should get that offense over the hump. But I mean, like, they just, two touchdowns were dropped in the end zone last night. I mean, that's, the Jets had that game. That doesn't happen to Adams. Yeah, well, and that's exactly it. Like, those are two, you got 14 more on the board. And with the way the penalties are being called and the kicking in that game last night, you can't lose those. You can't drop those touchdowns.
Kicks, too. Oh, my God.
Like, I don't think San Fran gets any better without McCaffrey coming back. That's a big issue for them, and their running backs are dropping like flies right now. Cincinnati looks interesting, but, I mean, they're kind of like a mid-tier for me.
So surprising. I thought they were going to be the biggest bounce-back team this year. Like, that's Joe Burrow coming back. Then Cody Rhodes is who comes out of the tunnel. And last I checked, Cody Rhodes is the WWE champion, not a quarterback. Jokes aside, it's not working out there in Cincinnati now.
As far as wrestling references go, they got Stardust and not Cody Rhodes. So some people will get that. Some people won't.
Oh, I sure as heck do. Yeah, great reference. But you got to – all those four teams have the ability to have a bounce back season, even the Eagles, right? There's another team that you just
– I don't know what's going on
running there. Game. Yeah, I really can't pinpoint. It's like you're losing – all they're doing is losing football games. And it seems like they find ways to lose those games. You know, obviously it was Barkley. I'm making that catch earlier in the season.
It's like Cleveland just found a way to lose that game on the weekend. That's all that happened.
Yeah.
I mean, Philly didn't win it. Cleveland just lost it.
But what I – this week against – with the Jets, you picking the Jets is a very good choice. I almost was really leaning towards the 49ers because of their injury woes kind of being a factor and if McCaffrey can get back. But the Jets is a good choice. And it's – if you're a Steeler fan, which obviously people know I am, with Aaron Rodgers' new toy at the helm next week, and I mean that in the most appropriate way possible. I mean, he's going to throw the ball to somebody that I'm sure he's excited to throw the ball to, that he's thrown to over 50 times in his career. The Pittsburgh Steelers defense is going to really be tested. But one thing I'd like to say about these four teams is I expected all four of these teams, except I did say the Jets were going to kind of be that hover around team, but the Niners, Bengals, Eagles, those are three teams I thought top.
All would have been playoff teams 6 weeks
100%.
ago. 100%. 100%. I mean, one interesting one, just before we segue to the picks, I'm stealing this from another podcast I heard today. Deshaun Watson, is he a better person or a better football player?
Oh, my goodness.
Think on that.
Better football player.
We can come back to it next week, but like that's like some bottom of the barrel shit right there. Like, is he a better moral character or better at football?
Better football player. I'll go with that. Okay, I'll go with that because if you're like looking at all these reviews from Saturday Night Live, okay, that's another conversation.
Yeah, no, that was just some thought. We'll touch base on it again next week. Maybe EJ can throw an opinion in here if he wants in the chat. But yeah, let's segue into the picks here. We'll get the standings.
It's getting real freaking close now, a little too close for my likings here.
Yeah, EJ is 1 point behind you now. So Kegger's Gridiron Pick still in first at 59. But the Browns is the Browns doing better than the real Browns with 58 points. So 1 point behind Dave. And then the ever original Hikes Picks in third at 53. So I'm trailing quite a bit here. I'm 6 out of first place. So
I'm expecting big week.
Controversial picks haven't worked out for me so far this year.
He's going to go safe this week. No. I'll go first. I'll go first and Hike can finish this off towards as we hit the ending. Going from the Thursday nighter down, I got the Broncos over the Saints this week. I got the Jags over the Patriots, Falcons over the Seahawks, Bills over the Titans, Bengals over the Browns. Bengals fans will love that. Texans over the Green Bay Packers. I'm picking that. That's one of my non-favorite picks, if you will. Colts over the Dolphins. Lions over the Vikings. Lions looked so good last week. Eagles over the Giants. Rams over the lonely Raiders. Commanders, the absolute wagon. Commanders over the Panthers, easily. Chiefs over the 49ers. Steelers over the Jets, because especially being at home, I'm giving them the home field advantage on that big time. Ravens over the Buccaneers. Cardinals over the Chargers. Tiebreaker games through Yahoo. 28 Cardinals, 24 Chargers. 24 Buccaneers, 32 Ravens. I should say that right. 32 Ravens, 24 Buccaneers. The most points this week, the Commanders are going to get 40-plus this week, and the Panthers are going to stay in single digits.
All right, all right. That's, I mean, I got more faith in the Panthers than you do, I think, but I didn't pick them. Thursday nighter, I got Denver over the Saints. I'm a big Bo Nix fan. Hasn't worked out for me all the week so far.
Oregon Lum.
He's doing okay. Then I got New England over Jacksonville because Jacksonville is a mess. I mean, Travis Etienne there with negative 1 point in fantasy last week. Like, fuck off. So New England's going to beat him. Atlanta over Seattle, Buffalo over Tennessee, Cincy over Cleveland, Green Bay over Houston, Indy over Miami, Detroit over Minnesota, Philly over the Giants, Rams over the Raiders, Washington over Carolina, KC over San Fran, Jets over the Steelers, Ravens over the Bucks, and Chargers over Arizona. I got the Chargers at 21, Arizona at 17, because the Chargers just don't score points this year. And then the Ravens 35, Tampa 28, thinking that one's going to be pretty close. Most points this week, the Lions. Fewest points this week, the lowly Dolphins.
Oh, the Dolphins. Yikes. Dolphin fans, sorry to tell you. And obviously, Justin, a little bit short of a pick'em than what we're used to. Usually, obviously, we would dive into a little bit more news, but due to time constraints today, so we apologize to the viewers out there that really look forward. We hope still 15 minutes of In the Pocket. That's a lot that we crammed in there to that 15
We're just
minutes.
Showing people we can be quick when we have to, and not just at home.
Facts. Quick when we want to. Except my last segment was supposed to be 15 minutes, so it was 35. So this one, see, this shows that Justin is able to help me be time manageable. This is a proof right here.
Been staring at the clock the entire time.
Now we're going to see. This is where we start to go down that rabbit hole.
This is where it goes down.
This is where we start slipping. All right. Now, Justin, I want to say thank you to you for taking the time. I know last week, you didn't miss anything last week because the show had technical difficulties. So despite the confusion last week, we're happy to have you on this week. Next week, we'll be back with more In the Pocket. And we hope that EJ's he is planning to be back next week, it seems like. So we do hope that EJ will join us. But nonetheless, Justin and I will bring you more In the Pocket on next week's episode of the Game Sports Podcast. Now, here to remind you, I'm not going to exit yet. I'm going to remind you to follow, like, subscribe. YouTube on 91N, that's 91 Network. Instagram and TikTok. That is the Game Sports Podcast on TikTok and Instagram. Facebook as well, the Game Sports Podcast. And soon to be on Spaces. If you're from Toronto, doesn't matter. Sue Today, there's Toronto Today. There's Sue Today is Village Media. That's the media brand. It's definitely expanded outside of the Sioux, so you should know what it is if you're outside of the Sioux. If you don't, well, you can just give it a search. You will see the Game Sports Podcast on Spaces in the coming weeks as well. If you want more details, just reach out to us and let us know. Justin, thank you to you. Till next week, my friend.
Oh, yeah. We'll be back. We'll see you. And this Sunday nighter should be interesting against your Steelers.
Yeah, it's going to be a good game. Yeah, it's going to be a good weekend of football again. I know Oregon Ducks Nation, big win against Ohio State. EJ Russell's Ohio State. I won a burger on that bet against my brother-in-law because Oregon is for real. Okay, I did a quacking sound for everyone out there for your reward.
That was a duck noise, okay.
That was a duck noise, and I said I'd do it on air, and I did it without messing up. Love it. I also want to say thank you to Alex Parr and to you, the viewers and listeners. Again, make sure you like, follow, and subscribe. And until the next one, I'm here to remind you, keep your stick on the ice, ring your bats, catch your touchdowns, drain your threes, and shoot your shots. Booyah.